This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We will get to the random question of the day, actually, here in about 20 minutes. Moving things around.
Later today.
Had a lot to get into with Josh Vernier there, so that's all right. Random question of the day. 20 minutes. We'll do it in the 1 o'clock hour special. Some of you only have a chance to listen around 1:15, 1:20. You get something different today, you know? A little random question around 1:20.
Didn't we? I don't remember what it was. We had a guest at like 12:30.
We've had it in the 1 o'clock for a couple.
There was like a stretch
weeks.
This like in the, I don't know, the Super Bowl time we were doing in the 1 o'clock hour, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
Needless to say, if we miss one, the text line asks.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes we got to move some stuff around.
Yeah, you know.
You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Also, video stream up and running. Twitch, X, Facebook, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of this show and also any of the shows. Fesco and Dusty, The Drive as well. Makes it very easy for you to check out all of our content that we're putting out as well. We appreciate you guys following us. Hope your Wednesday is going good. Don't forget, if you're still looking for something to eat, lunch hour as well, our friends over at Jefferson's, they are a Wednesday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. And they also have half-off appetizers 7 days a week, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa and Jefferson's North Kansas City.
The Royals team this year has obviously been a little bit frustrating from the offensive end, as we've pointed out. But I was thinking about it as it related to last year's team. Last year's team was 12 games above 500 at this exact point. And yet, I'm here to tell you, I think this year's team is better. And you're going to be like, but how? How is that even possible, knowing all the things we just said about the offense? One, I think that they are just as good, I would actually argue, due to the depth, better in the starting rotation. I think Chris Bubich is having an even better year than the guy who held that spot last year as Brady Singer. They don't seem to have missed much of a beat in the Lugo Reagans Waka camp, although obviously Reagans and Lugo have missed a couple of starts here. Lugo expected back this weekend. Reagans expected back shortly after that. And the guys who filled in, Noah Cameron, has been awesome and pitches tonight. So I think they're better in the starting rotation. I think they're light years better in the bullpen, especially than they were at this exact time of the year. And offensively, they're worse. I'm not pretending like that's not the case. That certainly is. But I still think that there is a regression to the mean back to the, like, they're bad maybe, or they're not as good, but they're not this bad, you know? Like, I do think that there's a balance of that. And but I'm not counting the Cags or the future moves. I'm just saying where they are right now versus where they were at exactly this point last year. I think they are a better team, not by much, but a better team playing worse. You know, like,
and I hear
which
you.
I think happens in sports.
No doubt. Baseball's very weird. I do think the results at some point have to speak for themselves. On this day last year, they were 12 games above 500. Now, they had played the White Sox 7 times already.
The Royals have played more teams above 500 than anyone in baseball this year. just so you know.
The only problem is they still have the fifth toughest schedule the rest of the
way. I
know,
but I'm just telling you, like, that is part of where their record is, right? They've played more teams above 500 than anyone else.
They had played the White Sox already seven times at this point. I'll push back, though, on, like, I think there's a chance that by a month and a half from now that you can say what you're saying. I don't know how
on
May 28th, we can say they're a better baseball team than last year. You know, last year was also fresh and new and different, and you still were wondering when the bottom was going to fall out and all that kind of stuff. And maybe that's the different feeling this go around, that you still have confidence because you did see them in the playoffs last year. You know what they were capable of doing. But I think it's not like they were 12 above 500 and now they're 8 above 500 and we're having this weird narrow debate over four games. I mean, we are talking about a 9-game difference and the calendar is about to turn to June. And I also know that we just got done talking to Vern and literally two of their most important hitters are worst in baseball with runners in scoring position.
I just don't think that's
a problem. Yeah.
But that's playing versus talent in my opinion.
Yeah, you know? Okay, so then at what point though does that switch for you? Like, cause in August
if we want to do this conversation
in August,
the other third of the season, I'm not going to make
in August, in August, there's a chance that there'll be potentially
some
more
games of evidence working against me.
There will be maybe new additions to the lineup and stuff. But on July 5th, if this team is two games above 500, and I don't know what they were on July 5th last year, Cody. Sure. I don't know, 10 games above 500 or whatever. I don't know what they were. At that point, I don't think I can still say, well, I still think they're bad. At some point, the results have to be the results. I'll give you maybe the fact that it's still quote unquote early, but like at
third of the way, I think there's time.
The results have to still be there. If we're just making, we're not asking, do you think they can get better? I'm with you. I think they will be better down the road. I do not think Vinny, I'm with you, and Salvi will be this bad all year, worst in baseball with runners in scoring position. But on May 28th, is this team better than last year's team on May 28th? I can't answer that and say yes. I think the answer is no. Last year on this exact date, they were a better baseball team, even if the starting pitching and bullpen is in a better spot. For that bullpen and starting pitching also to be utilized as well, like at some point, you know, it can't just be one run a game, though. Then you're asking the impossible out of this pitching staff.
Sure, and kind of are in a lot of ways already, just based on how few runs they score is the third worst in baseball. You're already asking a lot of the starting rotation and, of course, the bullpen later in the game to do it. It's a lot like, and I understand, like, this is asking to ask a question that is not solely based on record. Because if I did, why would we even have this conversation? Technically, one team's record was better.
Yeah, but it's not just record. That's a huge chunk of it. But it's also the fact that, again, in the heart of your order, two of your most important pieces on last year's team as well are not performing. And I'm a big
and I'd
like,
say one of those guys I'm big on results.
Very big, and I know ultimately you ultimately are as well. But but I'm very big on results, and it's hard for me to just act as if those I'm in April. In early May, I'm totally that guy. Like, hey, let's wait. It's 25 games in. Let's calm down. And we said that.
And they got back well above.
We're starting at the point where it's about to be June. When we're comparing just the 1 year to 1 year at the exact that because although by the way, like I know you're saying like the record part. If that was the case, then we would all both say it's the record. But that's also why we're not saying, was last year's team at the end of the year better than this year's team right now? No, we're talking about on May 28th. Yeah. Was last year's team better at May 28th than this year's team?
If it's the September 30th or whenever Vinny came back.
Yeah,
if it's the whatever physical game Vinny came back version of the Royals, that version's better. Because that version had Urseg. That version had had some establishment to what they were and what they were doing. But they were still, and I want to point this out, even at that stage of the season, we're hitting Yuli Gurriel fourth. So let's not pretend like last year's offense was some world beater. They were just simply, and I think, and this is where I end up running into, I think this roster is better. That's where they were simply just running into performing better. And I'm not saying that that's not nothing. And to the Salvador Perez point, it is more likely, obviously, than anyone else, that his is just like, he is not as good of a player now as he was a year ago, and that will maintain versus what I think might be just someone had a slow start to a month and let's just put that to bed for a minute.
Yeah.
And so it's not, it is tough. I'm not saying there's a tremendous amount of gray in this, right? It's just it's very difficult to diagnose because also what you're talking about is by the end of right now it's 9 games. And if I just said, well, they played the same record the rest of the way that they were on May 28th, well then the Royals would be 20 games worse in this one.
Sure.
But the Royals team after May 28th last year played 500 baseball. Pretty much May 29th until the end of the regular season played 500 baseball. That was it. So is this team just playing more 500 baseball now? It's asking almost an impossible comparison, as you're pointing out. Last year's team was no doubt playing better. I just think this is as constructed a better roster than this time last year, May 28th. I think it's actually easier to fix than last year's roster.
There's not, going
especially
out and getting
because Cags is here.
Going out and getting hitting is, here, generally speaking, in the middle of a season for a trade, is easier to find than pitching. I'm 100% with you. I think there's plenty of evidence. I know the Royals made it seem like it was easier because they went out and got Ursag and were like, what do you mean it's hard to get that?
They also tried for Hunter Harvey and he didn't play.
And he's, unfortunately, the injury. I mean, I don't know when we're going to see him again. But yeah, the hitting part of it, depending on what teams actually think they're out of it in a month or so from now, yeah, it's easier to find a guy to bat sixth in your order and play outfield than it is to go find someone to anchor rotation. It's not going to cost you as much to run a bat as it would be to go find an ace or a second, third starter in your rotation, which right now the Royals obviously do not need to go and acquire. They have those guys. So.
If anything, they're going to try to help somebody else acquire, like
Michael Lorenzen
said, and it might end up being, I remember for a while in the beginning part of the season, might have been the morning show, but like other people were like, well, what if they traded Bubic? Well, he's the hot hand. Is that the guy? I'm like, right now, no chance. We can get into this later in the week. We have to start talking about, like, do you take the risk on extending Chris Bubic? Because there's three choices that remain with him. You can play out the full 2 years of the contract and let him walk as a free agent. You can let him play out all this year, trade him in winter meetings, or hypothetically trade him at the trade deadline next year, but trade him all the same. Or you can try to extend him essentially at the end of this year and get some more years with him. I think because of the Lugo Waka contracts where there's a limit for how long they're going to be on your team.
Lugo and Lorenzen are
on the extension game. Yeah.
Like Lugo and Lorenzen are not on this team next year.
Yeah. And because Lugo's going to opt out.
Yeah.
And Waka's only got a year. Is he going to be on this team either?
No, because remember that was part of the new deal. They're technically wasn't there 3 years onto that thing.
Yeah.
The third year is an option. I thought.
To look at his maybe they got one more.
But basically, you already know, no matter whether you make a trade or not, you know next year Lorenzen and Lugo are, I mean, we all assume he's going to opt out. So he's not
technically a free agent yet, but I don't, I mean, there's no,
so that
reason.
Means you're,
more money
so that means
out.
You're left with Waka and Bubic and Reagans, and then maybe it's Noah Cameron next year. I don't know, right? Who knows? Kyle Wright? Who knows, right? I have no idea who factors into that spot, but you feel better about it. Yeah.
I imagine we'll talk more about him tomorrow, but what Vern said, and if you miss Vern, he's, you can catch it up on our page, 96.5thefan.com, but he had said, I mean, he's pitching great and he might shove tonight. But if Reagans and Lugo come back, he could just be back in AAA. You're like,
well, what else are they supposed to do with him, man?
I mean, I know. I don't know. Six-man rotation?
I don't think so.
You got to protect Bubic's innings at some point.
Yeah. Cameron just goes to AAA.
Maybe they just, I mean, it's great. I mean, look, I love the luxury of it.
It's a good problem to have.
It's quite like, oh, what do I do with this? How often do I get to use my $40,000 car or my $400,000 car when I got this other $400,000 car? And you're like, you just take turns or whatever. You drive that one on the weekends. Like, it's a luxury problem. Sure. I'm not trying to pretend like it's not. It's just kind of like, dang. And I did look up Waka's contract. Yeah, he's
got an option, right, on the third
he'll
year?
He'll definitely be here next year. Mm-hmm. And then the third, the club option's not till year four.
So it's three guaranteed.
I forgot
guaranteed.
How long that
That's
extension.
How they got it so, done. Yeah. That's how they got
so
it done.
They got two more years of Waka, so they don't have to redo the entire rotation, just that part. They had openly admitted that it might not have been Daniel Lynch who started yesterday had Avila not had to go to the injured list.
AAA.
The AAA pitcher who done decent job there in AAA this year. They were maybe going to go that range instead. Daniel Lynch has done every single thing asked to him. That I'm sure of. I hope the Royals get a win tonight. I don't want to watch him get swept.
We'll get to the Ram question in about 5-6 minutes or so, but I do want to talk about briefly what happened in Manhattan over the weekend. That is a big addition yet again for Jerome Tang, and it's interesting because last year in the transfer portal, they got one of the bigger targets in Coleman Hawkins. We know they spent a fortune on him, and it did not work out, plain and simple. Not only did the team not make the tournament, he obviously didn't have the best season. I think I remember we played the audio of how emotional he was. You could tell all the pressure got to him and social media and everything. And these are the challenges in the NIL era when someone sees and a fan base sees that you're going to get paid, let's say $5 to $10 million. The bar is raised. You are treated differently than when you were just the guy on a scholarship.
It keeps more talent in college, which I love. This guy was in the NBA draft, and if he didn't have $3 million reasons not to come back, maybe he wouldn't have.
So last year was Coleman Hawkins. This year, P.J. Haggerty, as you said, was entered in the NBA draft. He was at Memphis. He was the AAC reigning player of the year, third in scoring in the country. He has now agreed to go to Kansas State. It's a huge get for Jerome Tang, the number 2 transfer portal prospect that was out there. Reports are he was looking for $4 to $5 million, maybe misjudged and overcalculated what his market was, but he ends up getting reportedly $2 million, could be $2.5 million if all goes well with, like, I guess, incentives, basically, for him at Kansas State. And so it's a huge get, and I think it's big because after you whiffed on Coleman Hawkins, you wonder, hey, is that money still going to be there for me to go spend another couple mil on one particular player?
Will they give it to me again? Trust me again to choose the player.
The answer is yes. And it's got to work this time, though, because you didn't make the tournament last year. Some of the experts out there project them not to be a tournament team right now heading into the season. Things change, but right now they're not projected to be a tournament team, and he chose you. That's pretty wild. But if you're Jerome Tang, your buyout after next season drops to $15 million. It's still $15 million. So maybe that protects you still some more. But people will quickly forget about that Elite Eight. And last year, towards the end of the season, people quickly forgot about it. It did not take long for Bruce Weber to run out of favor with fans as well.
It's so funny. This has to work. It either feels like he's going to go into 2026 as essentially a dead year. Like, you're getting ready to get fired. So prepare accordingly, Jerome, right? Because at the end of that year, then it goes even below the $15 million you just said. But he hasn't been, it's not like he hasn't been coaching there forever. This is only year four.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
The thing is, though, he's gotten worse. Every year, the very first year he's a coach at Kansas State, they finish really well in the Big 12, they go to the Elite Eight, they have an incredible run. The following year, they're a fringe team, play a little bad at the end of the year, not barely, but miss the tournament, but they're not like a bad team. Last year, never felt like that team ever had a chance to go to the tournament, and their big, high-money acquisition stunk the entire time, so it didn't get anywhere. He goes back and he has a 23-win season this year, gets to the round of 32. Well, then it starts to feel like Jerome Tang might be here for a little bit. A lot of this goes back to what I think should be reasonable expectations of a 10-year time period goal of each individual coach. At K-State, I think you should be expected to make the tournament 5 or 6 times in 10 years, and you should be expected to make an Elite Eight run 1 of those 10 years. He's firmly on track to do that, just as long as he's a tournament team this year. I'm actually just impressed he both convinced the boosters to give him the money, convince the player to come to him again. Because if there's one thing that's right about Jerome Tang, he's having no trouble getting talent to come to K-State. It's whether or not it's the right fit. And I've been kind of blown away in the NIL era how often a player who has had a lot of success at their previous stop at a Power 4 program doesn't work when they get to the big school at the same level. They'll be scoring 20 points a game at Wisconsin. Come by and score 6 a game for Kansas. They'll be scoring 30 points a game at some small school. Come by and score 11.
Yeah, fit, buy-in, culture, all of it is huge. And then there's also, not saying this is what happened to the names you mentioned, I'm not saying this was Coleman Hawkins, I'm not saying this was what it was AJ Storr, but I think the same way you would say this happens in life with anybody, and there's a group of people this happens with, hey, once you got the bunch of money, your desire, your passion, your effort level. Again, I'm not saying that's what happened with those two guys, but in general, you know it happens, though, where all of a sudden you're a 20-year-old kid and you're getting $2.5 million or $1 million to go play somewhere, and your true passion and care to win for the fan base, and a fan base, by the way, you've only been there for 3 months, 6 months, whatever, you know, you didn't get recruited by them out of high school. You don't have the sense of the tradition and how important it is. You join up for 1 year, they write you a check for $1.5 million, and oh, things don't go well. It's January.
Always seems like statistically that happens with players. Like, if you, and I, this is obviously just like a blind perception, just basically, it feels like 90% of the time they're statistically worse players, and I don't understand. And it's not that high. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the prime example, you were given the Power 5 to Power 5.
Kansas has several over the last 2 years.
The
Coleman Hawkins is
the big whiff that for a lot of schools, and the one that worked out amazingly for Florida, obviously, was this, what was the, was it Iona? Yeah, I think it was the Iona transfer. And what's his name? Why is the name escaping me?
I can't think of it.
It's the top of my name just 2 months ago, and now I can't remember.
Walker is the last name. I can't remember.
Yeah, not Bueller. That's a pitcher for the Dodgers. Who the heck? Oh, my gosh. It's going to drive me crazy.
I mean, we just watched him win.
I know. So. That's what I'm saying. It was top of my name we had for... Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. Someone's going to text in just a second.
Well, someone text it in so we can just stop. Walter Clayton Jr.
Thank you.
Walter Clayton. That's right.
But Walter Clayton Jr. is one of the best picks, I mean, and out of the transfer portal. Yeah.
Again, this is where it's interesting because I'll give you something here. I looked up the previous stops for PJ Haggerty. He actually is a little bit like AJ Storr. But you look at the mid-major schools, and then that's where a lot of the talent, that's where if you go for fit, you know, he can really pay dividends instead of just the best names in the portal. The reason I say PJ Haggerty is in a way kind of like AJ Storr. He has been, the last 3 years, he has been at 3 different schools. He started at TCU, then he went to Tulsa, then he went to Memphis, now he's at K-State. Very similar to AJ Storr's collegiate path, going from school to school to school to school.
It just seems
what happens. Big get, though.
Hope you get the right
paper.
School.
On paper, big get.
Yeah.
Big get for Jerome Tang and company. All right, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you gold, you drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. You can interact with us there. I respond to messages on there as well as the text line, like we said, 913-586-7965. This comes via a conversation we were having before the show today. We were asked on our video, and you can check out our socials for all those same channels. We were asked, whether you play Madden or the college football game. And instead, it turned into a conversation, a little bit of the games we played in youth. So the question I have for you today, of a game that has not already been remade, what is a new version of a game from your childhood you wish they'd make a new version of? Obviously, college football fans, NCAA football fans, got that wish just a year ago as they came back with that. So what is the game from your youth you pined for? I was talking about playing Ken Griffey Jr. baseball was like the game I played. But I imagine it would be like if they just remade Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, that was essentially just MLB the show.
Right.
It was a realistic baseball game.
I got two for you right
whose
away.
Whose real names I wanted right away.
I got two for you. They're both sports games.
Okay.
They're both sports games. One, and this is one we were talking about, but the college basketball video game that had Blake Griffin on the cover.
You did
and,
mention that.
And
yeah.
You got to start out. You can be a small school, get in the tournament. It was great. The other one. It's timely because both KU and K-State baseball are hopefully on the path towards Omaha here and get to a College World Series. But for a brief 1 year, I think maybe there was an NCAA baseball video game.
So you want the college? Yeah. You want more college?
Drew remembers
games.
This.
There was an NCAA baseball game.
Really? The reason why the game was really good is because it was really good because it was right when they were still making, for those that really played video games for a while, in our age specifically, MVP baseball. You guys remember the MVP
baseball? NCAA MVP baseball 06.
MVP baseball was a really good baseball franchise from EA. They stopped making it, obviously. But for 1 year, they made an NCAA.
And you could transfer your guy up to the
I don't know if it had that. It was more just the fact that you could play as a college baseball program. Like Drew said, the sound effects obviously mimic the game and all of that. I would love for them to bring that back. Call it like Road. Like now they could just change the name. It doesn't have to be called College Baseball. Literally, Road to Omaha is the name of the damn game or something. You get it licensed and you could have players' names in there. Awesome. It'd be great.
Over on the text line, NFL Blitz getting a lot of mentions right away. That is a great one. Mike Tyson's Punch Out. That one's just so in its simplicity. I don't know if it plays on a newer one.
Plus, boxing now is not as big as it was even in 05.
Like the fight night games and stuff. They're trying to remake those.
Conker's Bad Fur Day. I can't believe that even got a mention. Do you guys remember that game?
I don't know if I ever played that.
I'll be honest.
I do not.
You probably do not remember that game if your parents had any level of strictness in what you
do. I remember
do.
The cover. Yes.
But Conker's Bad Fur Day, I remember that one for sure. NFL Street, yeah, a couple of those getting mentioned. I'll give a couple of mine, Drew, then I want your answer.
Okay.
One would have NBA Jam.
Yeah.
I don't need the we're playing five on five. I'm setting picks 2-on-2. I can be on fire.
Yeah.
It's just, it's five players. Maybe I can unlock Bill Clinton again or whatever, but just give me NBA Jam. 2-on-2, cycling through. He's on fire. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's still great in arcade form. If you gave it with Giannis and LeBron and current NBA players, hell yeah.
I still think the NBA Street game, though, the original version NBA Street, though, to me was awesome. And the soundtrack was good in that. There's a couple games like that.
Unless I'm mistaken, and they've remade this game and I just don't know it. The other one I played, I spent probably, of all the video games I played in my, like, let's say, elementary to early middle school days, I think this one I spent the most hours on other than Final Fantasy VII, and it was Secret of Mana.
I don't know what the hell that is. Do you?
You could play it, so it's like world exploring where you, like, fight with weapons and they can get stronger and all that normal stuff, but more than one kid could play at a time, so it was free world, but two of us could essentially be fighting at the same time. Which was, at that time, awesome because most of the games I played as a kid were either we played head-to-head like Madden, or you needed a game. If you wanted to play an RPG, you could very rarely play like two kids could play at the same time. We'd set a timer for 20 minutes and take turns. So I always loved that game, too.
Yeah, a listener said, hey, I still have PS2 with NCAA MVP Baseball 06, yours to use. My only thing is, I think that game now, I don't think I could go back and play the 06 version. Like
Your head would hurt?
Just the graphics. You want the updated one?
The graphics, but also team wise. Like it's so removed from where we're at in college baseball now that like it just wouldn't have
Texas and Oregon State were the powerhouses because they had
Someone wants a new Mario baseball game. Somebody wants...
Oh, Cruisin' USA. Oh,
Cruisin' USA. Someone mentioned every Simpsons arcade
every
game.
Arcade had Cruisin' USA, man. Yep. Another game where the graphics now would be impossible to race on.
How have they never made a new GoldenEye? There's so many first-person shooters. How do they not recreate that like they do Mario Kart where I can play some of the vintage maps?
They've remastered it.
You give me new maps and do like hard stuff, but give me some of the vintage maps.
Does remastering count as redoing it?
No, they remastered it.
Because they've done the Tony Hawk game. Somebody mentioned Tony Hawk.
You can play GoldenEye, the N64 one, but on your Xbox now.
Somebody mentioned the Guts game on SNES. I have that game. It's so hard. That game was so hard. Same as like the Lion King, the Aladdin's one. Oh, I recently learned.
The Lion King N64 game was impossible. I think I got stuck on the first like map the whole time.
I still
never
got past
it.
If you want to try it, but I'm not kidding.
I don't know what I was supposed to do.
Less than a week ago, I learned something about those games. Both of those games were intentionally designed more difficult by the game makers at Disney's request so you couldn't beat them in a weekend rental at Blockbuster. Those jerks were making it go so you couldn't knock it out.
I still think I'm stuck on the part where you're just walking through the desert and like...
You never beat it?
No.
Can I lend it to you?
I think I was just walking through the desert and I was just stuck there.
To beat the game?
Yeah.
Somebody pulled a good... They brought a good commentary poll from the 75. Like my wife's top drawer, nothing but nylon from the NBA Jam games.
So over on Twitch, people are mentioning Morrowind was getting a mention. Dance Dance Revolution.
No,
they still making those? I still think
they're not.
They probably have new versions of those. I see them in every arcade.
Dance
it must
Dance
be a new version.
That was
they're
so
doing the
popular
Just Dances
for a while.
Still, I think.
That's the same as like Guitar Hero, Rock Band, Dance Dance. Those, for a while, that was the thing. That was game, man.
I'm going to give you one that nobody's mentioned yet. I don't know if you guys
remember. Carry On My Wayward Son on Guitar Hero. I had that down.
All right, give us one, then we got to take a break.
I don't know if you guys remember on PS2, Midnight Club, the racing game. It was like street racing. You could get
it was like
cars.
Spinoff of Hot Pursuit and all that.
It's a lot like Need for Speed. They need to remake that.
I really like that Gran Turismo game. That was probably the biggest racing game I got.
They made a Gran Turismo again in 2020, I think. Gran Turismo 7.
That was a good day. You know, nostalgia.
I also love that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fighting game.
Oh.
That one was great. Did you guys play that one?
I'm laughing. Carrington has glasses on, and it's throwing me off. Okay. I think he's wearing David
I
Wright's
don't remember
glasses,
that game, Cody, no.
It's throwing me
I
off
never
big
played
time,
it.
Because I've never seen him wear glasses, and I'm very confused right now. Up next, though, let's get to what's trending a little bit here on Cody and Gold, and we'll take a look a little bit more on the NFL path, not the swing year for Patrick Mahomes, but where things are at when it comes to the stadium front and what Terry Bradshaw had to say about a quarter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Back in the league.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals back at it tonight, trying to get things going again after dropping the first few here to the Cincinnati Reds. Tough task. They'll go up against Hunter Green tonight. Good news, though. We'll see if he can keep it going. That's Noah Cameron. He has obviously been a great story so far for the Royals and their organization when it comes to pitching development. We'll see. They definitely need it. I'll tell you that. That's the weird thing. They're at a point where like they need him to keep it up. This would be the worst time for him all of a sudden to regress back,
yeah,
or have an off night or something like that, which, again, he's not going to pitch to a 0.9 ERA or whatever it is for much longer. I mean, that'd be absurd.
Maybe he's Paul Skeens. We don't know.
He's got a 0.93. He is not Paul Skeens. The strikeout numbers, among many other
reasons.
Pretty
good in the last game.
He was. He's got 14 in three outings. He's got a 0.93. First pitch, 640. Royals only two games above 500 now. Another reason why they need a win.
Next up on What's Trending? Yeah, no, very much so. Next up on What's Trending, the Pacers take a 3-1 series lead on the Knicks after their 10-point win in the Eastern Conference Finals last night. Thunder looking to wrap up their Western Conference tonight with a game against the Timberwolves. They also lead that series 3-1. Drew, I got to be honest, I'm a little worried maybe about fair weather fandom. You didn't say anything about the Pacers until they started getting good in the playoffs. You've been on the show for multiple years.
And now he's wearing Pacers gear.
I didn't hear anything about the Pacers until the playoffs. And notably, none other of your fandom relates to Indiana. Your college fandom is not Indiana-based. Your NFL fandom is not Indiana-based. You've never said you had like a baseball team that you stuck with for sure.
Well,
so
because I'm not going to cheer for a AAA team. I'm not going to claim the Indianapolis Indians as my.
But it's kind of hard, man. You've never had a flag on the ground on anything Indiana until all of a sudden it was the Pacers.
I mean, that's all. A Colts fan and a Pacers fan, we'd all understand.
He's not even a fan of his own college basketball team.
Because I don't think the Guardians like are that far from Indiana. Like, how far would it be for? Are there Guardians fans in Indianapolis? I understand it's a different state, but like none at all. There's no correlation.
It's mainly Cubs and Reds.
Reds would be the team. Nobody's a Guardian. Am I off on how far is Cleveland from the state of? How far is Ohio? I mean, Ohio and Indiana border each other.
Cleveland's further away than Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee.
You're
having to stretch a little bit, because it's northeast corner.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's more Reds and Cubs prefer. There's some Cardinals.
So Reds, not Guardians.
Too,
okay.
Geographically, Reds. The Reds are the closest.
It's more Reds, for sure. It's only 2 hours away from Indy.
But you're not a Reds fan.
No, I never got into. We grew up going.
You said he's a Royals fan now. It's a tough week to say that because they're in town.
We grew up going to Reds games. I remember watching Ken Griffey Jr. and Adam Dunn just rake at Great American Ballpark, but I never was I'm a Reds fan. No.
There you go.
I am proud of my Pacers though.
My Pacers. All of a sudden,
I will say
in the Eastern Conference Finals with only a game.
We never talk basketball
now
on the show anyway, so I feel like when we do talk basketball, I need to put my foot in the ground a little bit, and talk about the Pacers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Next up on What's Trending, the 5+11 models gaining a little steam with SEC coaches. They continue their meetings this week. There's also some rumbling that they want to play. A couple of their coaches are saying, we want Big Ten teams on the schedule, as in they would like to work out a partnership to get every team gets to play one Big Ten team every year. This only furthering the divide, in my opinion. If anything, if you want to smooth the waters, work out that same deal with the Big 12 instead.
Also, careful what you wish for. You know,
you don't have enough teams, but you get the point.
Careful what you wish for. All these hard games on the schedule, as long as the non-conference isn't, you know, East Tennessee State getting played by Tennessee, like, as long as you get rid of those teams
off
the schedule,
classic,
you know?
Rutgers-LSU matchup, you know? Can't wait.
What's even worse? Like, LSU's, I think LSU's playing Southeast Louisiana today, who aren't even in the same division as them. Not today, but this year.
Serious question as they continue. That's what's trending here on Cody Gold. Serious question as they continue to gain power in the SEC, just real quick, is the SEC and the Big Ten try to, like, separate themselves from the rest of college football? Shouldn't you be nervous if you're one of these teams at the bottom of the conference, of them being like, I can just trade you for Kansas, who I'd rather have anyway.
Like Vanderbilt, you're saying?
See you later, Vandy.
Or Rutgers.
See you later, Rutgers. Shouldn't, like, what? They can afford it. Drew, shouldn't you be a little bit worried about you just being like, this is a game of musical chairs eventually, and Rutgers ain't going to stay in the Big Ten forever?
Right now,
I'd be real nervous.
Right now, no. But if there ever was a world in which they actually split and it became its own thing, I could see like Vandy or Rutgers getting left behind and the SEC and Big Ten again poaching. Take your pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Big Ten would go after Kansas. I'll be honest with you. That would make sense for a variety of different reasons.
That was the original rumor.
That's always been like the one, like it's always just hung out there. Like, okay, like if they were to really expand from there.
If they called, you'd have to take it. That's what's
of course you would.
I think it was interesting because, you know, the 5+11 model, which we're not going to get into too much on, I don't think today, but Heather Dinich reported that Brett Yormark told her today the league not only approves of the 5+11 model, but it's always been their first choice. That's from Brett Yormark to Heather Dinich.
Wait, the Big 12's first choice?
Brett Yormark told Heather Dinich
sure is.
That.
Honestly, that's the most fair way to do
ironically,
it. Every conference
though,
gets one, and then everything else is just may the best man win, which is going to be the Big Ten and the SEC
I was
anyway.
Gonna say, theoretically,
I just don't know what you're afraid of.
Yeah, theoretically, it's going to be more SEC teams locked in, which is why the SEC, I think, tends to like the 5+11 as well.
So Terry Bradshaw has been on the show before, and when he came on the show a couple years ago, he wasn't a huge fan of yours for some reason. He was sitting on hold, and he called you a sissy boy.
Yeah, he did. He did. But it turns out, and it's not just me, which is good. Here's what that sounded like real quick before we talk about
this. This was like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man. I can't help it.
Oh, man.
Oh, we skipped the beginning. We didn't get the whole
thing. Oh, yeah, you're right. Hold on. Let's get to
that again. And I think I'm still talking to Alex because the sissy guy hadn't said a word yet.
What? That was me.
Oh, there he is. There he is. I'm sorry, man. I can't help it.
Oh, man.
So that was a couple years ago.
And by the way,
that
was one of maybe 15 times he jabbed at me in that interview.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Was like, he was doing open mic night on me for whatever reason. I didn't even do anything.
And then this the other day, Terry Bradshaw was at an event and was asked about Aaron Rodgers signing with, of course, his franchise, his Steelers.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just to me is a joke. But what are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's
that
not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
and chew on bark and. And whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
Talking about mystify the gods. That one guy, by the way, he talks like Foghorn Leghorn. That is a southern accent and slow molasses draw, at least on that guy. This is so uncommon for an all-time legend, knowing that the organization wants to do this. He's kind of putting him on skates a little bit. Like if I, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I'm saying anything out of line here. Pretty sensitive. He's got a pretty thin, I think he's got a bit of a thin skin as it relates to this kind of stuff. And he hears all of it. because he's constantly making little like snarky noises. He's got to kind of know this. I feel like this, not in any kind of big way, maybe 1%. For a guy who could change his mind with the as the wind blows, mm-hmm. pretty much is what Terry Bradshaw is saying. Any amount of negative stuff that keeps him away from the Steelers makes it slightly less likely he ends up a Steeler.
Yeah, I just look at Aaron Rodgers' situation, and if I'm the Steelers, and it goes back to what they clearly are not willing to do, which is they bring in Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to come up with a big upset win or two. But they're a 10 to 11 win team, probably. Without them, they trade for Kirk Cousins, and they're a 10 or 11 win team. Without trading for Rodgers or Cousins or signing Rodgers, they start Mason Rudolph for a month, and then they end up going to Will Howard, and they are a 9-win team. Like, that's what's so crazy. Like, oh, Mason Rudolph's not. I'm just telling you, with Mike Tomlin, they're winning.
Knowing their floor,
they're going to win eight or nine games every year.
I should say nine because that puts them
above 500. But Rodgers or Cousins does not make them into a Super Bowl contender, and that's what's crazy is, you know, the idea of where they're at. Rodgers comes in for 1 year for what? If I'm a Steelers fan,
where's your franchise headed? Praying that you get a one-off Super Bowl with a guy who hasn't been good in 4 years? Like, when was that back-to-back MVP year? Is that 3-4 years ago now? Like, he's over 40. He doesn't even seem committed to it. That's been my whole thing this entire time. He doesn't even like your team enough to actually tell you he'll play for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of on Bradshaw's side in the sense that, like, why are you bending over backwards for this guy? For this? And look, you don't have a plan for quarterback this year. Okay, Kirk Cousins didn't show up to camp. I guess you just go try to trade for him. I saw a headline that said Carson Wentz is getting brought back up there again as well. They will go find some aging quarterback, and they'll win their 9 games. They should just win 3 and draft whatever best quarterback is available for them at the top of the draft next year. But they're not going to do that because that's not the Steelers' way. But, you know, like I do think that there's a point that they do need to kind of go to the doldrums. Doing Aaron Rodgers for a year, he has been a mess ever since he left Green Bay. It went horribly in New York. And then he's just been holding teams hostage, trying to like, I don't even think he wants to go to your team. I think he wanted to be a Viking. He was trying anything to not be a Steeler, in my opinion, and just wouldn't because he couldn't find a team that would take him in. That's so weird. So did Pittsburgh draft Will Howard? No. He came over from Miami, right?
No, well,
no.
They drafted him. They drafted
him. Oh, yeah. They did. I'm sorry. Oh, no.
You're
I'm
thinking Skylar Thompson.
My bad.
Had two K-State. I say it's so funny. So I'm on the. On
my
the
mistake.
This was so funny. Here, you guys all understand when I say, oh, yeah, former K-State quarterback Will Howard. You guys are like, oh, yeah, no kidding. Duh. On my show on Saturday.
You said then they were like, do you mean Ohio State? And you're like,
my producer and co-host on Saturday were like, thought I was an idiot. They're like, you mean the Ohio State quarterback? I go, no, I mean the K-State quarterback.
They played it both.
I'm like, well, he did win a national title at Ohio State, but like he also played 4 years or 3 years at K-State.
More,
so like, I understand he's viewed as national champion Will Howard, the Ohio State.
He was drafted out of Ohio State.
No, like saying he's former K-State quarterback Will Howard, I actually
That's
think
funny.
is. But here you guys get
That's
it.
Funny.
But on that show, they thought I was crazy.
He played more there than he did the other one.
I know. Yeah. I know.
K-State.
I just got to enlist you at your last stop, or is it because you won a championship? He started 4 full years.
Because their response,
K-State.
Their response was like I can't remember who the example. I think they were like, was Kyler Murray? You view him as Texas A&M quarterback or whatever? I'm like, well, no, it's he played.
It's just way different.
It's way different. But whatever.
Like Caleb Williams, you don't view him as the Oklahoma quarterback. You view Caleb Williams at USC.
Correct, but I do think yes, he won a title at Ohio State. So you're like, oh well, then that's where he gets credit for. But it's when someone plays 3 years.
I watched him play
at K-State.
He spent 4 years, 2020 through 2023, at K-State.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard for me in a regional part of it. I think of him as a K-State quarterback.
Let's say Will Howard goes on to have a nice NFL career. I have no idea if he will. Hopefully for his sake, he does. I think forever, I will always say, yeah, former K-State quarterback, Will Howard.
I don't think because we're
in Kansas City, I don't think I'll ever, first thing to mind will come to mind being, oh yeah, Ohio State quarterback, Will Howard. I don't think, that's just because where we're located. If you're in Ohio State, you definitely are saying.
If it's just your last stop, think about all the guys who just get like,
oh man,
stuck in the mud. You know, former Kansas great AJ Storr, right? Hunter Dickinson. Like, look, he was a Jayhawk, but I don't think of him as a Jay.
He played like that's interesting.
That's a tougher one.
Yeah,
he played 2 years at Kansas. Wait, yeah. Is he more? Is he Mountaineer?
You mean Wolverine? Yeah.
I think he's more. I picture him in both jerseys, so I think he's a little bit of both. I think it's a mix, you know. As opposed to like
you can be both. Maybe
like Justin
both.
Fields is an Ohio State Buckeye. He's not a Georgia Bulldog.
Totally.
Yeah, Jerry Rice isn't a Raider. It's fine. We can just... it doesn't have to be your last stop. It's the stop... But this is the problem. If it's the stop you're most famous for playing for that team...
So it would be crazy to say Ohio State Patriots quarterback Tom Brady instead of former Bucks quarterback. Exactly.
I think you can just say both in some cases. And like, he is also... like he won, I think if you win a championship somewhere, you can be called the former of whatever.
Is Tom going to
but
the Hall
of
Famous? But if you
spent 4 years...
Oh, as a Patriot.
Patriot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Look, if you're a Bucks fan, just be funny. You could say, yeah, former Bucks quarterback Tom Brady. You know, but like, there's no way outside of Tampa anybody's called him former Bucks quarterback. Yeah. And former Patriots quarterback is how you're introducing him. Hall of Famer, you know. X amount
former
of
former Niners quarterback Joe Montana when he went to
former Chiefs quarterback.
Yeah, former Chiefs quarterback.
Former Chiefs quarterback Joe Montana.
Right, exactly.
No one thinks of him as a Chief when they think Joe Montana.
That's right.
They think of him as
former Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning.
Right. Yeah, we all know he played there, won a Super Bowl, but it's one of those you kind of just know it if you know it. You know what I mean? Like when you say it out loud, you're like that. You know what sounds right, and you know which one sounds weird, and the one that sounds weird is probably not the correct one in this case. Mm-hmm. Oh well. Someone says market at Marcus Allen, not the Raiders.
No.
Again, in Kansas City, I don't expect you to align with the Raiders on that anyway.
No. And if it's a team you hate, you can just ignore that one too, you know?
Jalen Hurts, former Crimson Tide quarterback. That's right.
It's just like, I don't know. It just, some of it just doesn't sound right. I also don't think like every once, this was like when you
former
said
Oklahoma quarterback Jalen
when
Hurts.
You said the Ohio State, I was reminded of a conversation, this is 2 months ago probably now. When I was talking about a school night at Ohio State, and they were a graduate of Ohio State, so I said, the Ohio State. I said, you went there, not me. I don't owe you a the.
Oh, they were mad that you didn't say the?
They corrected me.
Actually
I was like,
mad?
That screams
Ohio State.
No, they
like corrected
State.
Me.
Were
and
they
I'm
joking?
Like, no, I think they really think I should say the. They were like offended. Oh, no. They weren't mad, but I'm like, I don't owe you the. I didn't go there.
I wondered if they were just joking, like, no, the Ohio State. Like, just trying to be a, you know, like, give you a hard time kind of thing. Or were they actually serious that you need to call it the Ohio State? There's a big
difference.
They
seem serious. They seem to think like, that everyone should be
that
calling it
that. Doesn't surprise me with Ohio State's fan base. No offense to them, but.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
I was born.
I was born and raised
you're
in
fine with Ohio's, you're fine with Ohio's, a couple of Ohio's NFL teams, but or at least one of them, but not
I
okay
will,
with their college
I will
team.
Be respectful of them being good. And I'll say that they're a good team, but in terms of I will never root for Ohio State. I was born and raised in a pro-Michigan household.
Pro-Michigan.
Just like Kramer. Kramer hates Ohio State just as much.
He just claimed the Pacers, and now he's claiming pro-Michigan. Like his third college.
Pro-Michigan, pro-Wisconsin. They're both in the same conference.
I didn't say go Michigan. I said pro-Michigan as in my dad roots for Michigan.
Between the two, you choose Michigan over Ohio State, I guess.
Oh, I choose... I would pick 135 teams that are in FBS right now over Ohio State. I'd pick Notre Dame over Ohio State, which makes me a little sick to my stomach.
But here's the thing. I don't think you're allowed to hate Ohio State this much if you aren't a Michigan fan. This is unnecessary anger towards Ohio State. You don't even claim them as your college football team.
They've also scraped Wisconsin multiple times.
I think you can hate on, like, quote unquote, any school, but I also don't think you can... You can hate Ohio State, but you can't claim you're a Michigan fan and a Wisconsin
fan
and a Notre Dame fan and you know that's.
I mean, in all technicality, if you went off of my college apparel, I'm the fan of a lot of teams in college.
That's
apparel's different. I don't really care about that.
I wore an Oklahoma State shirt yesterday. I'm not an Oklahoma State fan.
Yeah, I don't apparel again.
But yes, anyways.
Like some people, it's just like it's a fashion choice or it's a million other things. So I don't mind that, but I'm just.
I do have a KU shirt now. Gold. I wore it a couple weeks ago.
I
wore the KU
shirt. Now you want to join. They're about to head to Omaha for College World Series a few
Now's
wins
the time.
Away. You know?
It is a
now,
good sign.
Like the Pacers are one win away from the NBA Finals.
It's a good time
Do you have a photo proof that you ever went to a Pacers game?
I will send you a photo of me in my Jalen Rose pinstripe jersey.
There you go.
Again, the apparel doesn't work. I need you at a game. You just said you have an Oklahoma State
I
shirt.
I went to
no
Kobe Bryant's final game as a Pacer.
Kobe Bryant fan.
No. Everybody in the stadium is rooting for Kobe Bryant because it was his last game in Indiana.
That does not help, but I need a photo of you at a Pacers game as a Pacers fan that wasn't Kobe's last
game. I will ask my dad. I've been on the court. I've been on the practice court more times than I've been to an NFL game.
Now we're talking. I need proof.
I said, what's up to Lamar Odom? He was not doing... He was fully sober, by the way. He was lifting weights before the game.
Okay. You said you were looking at finals ticket prices.
He knew
ticket prices.
I was looking at finals ticket prices. $1,400 for the nosebleeds. That is...
It's going to be a little rich for my blood.
Yes.
All right. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Wednesday. We're back at it tomorrow. Up next, it's The Drive here on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.